Good morning, everybody. Here we are, Parshas Mishpatim. So I'd like to take a look at one particular mitzvah in this week's parsha, a well-known mitzvah, Pasuk Talva. In Keset, Talva is Ami. Literally, very literally translated, if you will lend money to my people, Eser Ani Imbos, a poor person, Loisir Loikonoshe. Pasuk continues to command us, Loisir Loikonoshe, Loisir Loikonoshe, do not take ribbit, do not take interest. And let's look at the third part of the pasuk. In Kesef Talveh, if you will lend money to my people. So Rashi tells us over there, in Kesef Talveh, if you will lend money, Rabbi Yishuel Omer, call in the in, should the Torah reshut. Normally, when the word if, in, is used like this in the Torah, it represents something which is reshut, something which is optional. In sounds like if you do it, if you want. Chutz mishloisha, except for three exceptions, the zeh echad mehem. Every rule has got an exception. This one has got three exceptions, except for three, the zeh echad mehem. Over here, the word "in," the word normally translates with the word "is," is not to be taken as not to be taken literally as an optional suggestion, but rather more like it means like "where." When do you lend money? Because one's obliged to do so. It's when correct set of circumstances arises, then one is obliged to lend money. It is a mitzvah. Person needs a loan, one's able to give it, and all the correct circumstances fall into place, it is a mitzvah to do so. In Kesef Talveh Es Ami, it's a mitzvah. We'll come back maybe later on to why indeed does the Torah word it with this word "in." Look at that maybe later. But let's begin by looking at one particular question which arises. So if it's a mitzvah, one can ask this question in many places, and maybe multiple questions have the same answer, but why is there no bracha on this mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah, so then when you lend out the money, you should say Baruch Atah Hashem, Shekel Shalom, Mitzvot of Mitzvonu, Al Mitzvah Salvot. There's no bracha. There's no bracha on lending money. And as I said, of course, they probably have a list of mitzvahs where one could ask this type of question. Things where there, many mitzvahs where there is a bracha, and some mitzvahs where there's no bracha. Okay, well, we'll see. There's a lot of, there's a few ideas around. Let's see.
Is it a
bracha?
I hope so.
Is it a bracha? It's not a bracha, yeah. So, this question is discussed. We'll look at a few different answers. The Rashba was asked this question. Why do not all mitzvahs have a bracha? Kagoin, and a couple of examples he gives, Hamalva et Chaveri, one who lends money. Another example of mitzvahs that doesn't have Chaveri, one who helps somebody load up. You know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to help somebody load up their donkey if they can't manage. But can you make it right? These mitzvahs, why do they not have a bracha? This is the Rashba. Sure, I will answer. Zu she'ela amuka. This is indeed a deep question. The davar she'omdu alav harishonim zatzal, on which the earlier rishonim have discussed, and it's stumbled by harbin. They got very caught up. Neimam avorchen al mitzachon ve'im avorchen al kulas. While some mitzvahs there is, some mitzvahs there isn't. Ve'ezu she'avorchen alav, ve'ezu she'ein avorchen alav. Which do we yet have a problem? Which do we not? Ve'ein ha'inyan tolui v'tzal efor. Says the Rashba. There's not one answer which answers all of the questions. There's not one rule which shall answer everything. There's a few rules. There's a few rules which all need to be answered and explained. And he gives us a number of guidelines.
Examples he gives are examples of someone who will refer to someone else.
Yeah.
So look at how you can some kind of offensive or kind of, you know, I'm doing mitzvah, I'm giving you a loan, you poor man, I'm an English man, and I'm doing a brahma. It is not something like deny the person receiving the favor, so to speak, and that may be a reason why it's in the bracha.
Could be. I hear that. It's a nice word. It sort of gives the feeling to the poor man that you're my
right.
You know, you're my chicken for kapara type of thing.
Right.
You're my chapter shal mitzvah. It doesn't.
That's right.
It sort of ruins the mitzvah. There comes in a similar idea at the end.
Yeah,
I think I've heard that before somewhere. I haven't seen it written.
There's not a story of someone sees a midget,
he has to do
the bracha, and the
word is going to be maras. There is such a thing. I don't know if there's a story anymore about it. There is such a thing, and you make a bracha. It's definitely commit the wrath in such a way that you're not. He shouldn't see. You know, he doesn't have to see you making. You don't have to shout it. You know, his loud voice.
Maybe
we have
to make the book
on the
learn.
Or
you want to
make the book?
I want to make
the book
and then turn it into a.
It would become a sort of. Yeah,
and
let's have a look at the
Rashba. Well, you have to say that. That would be the same thing, right?
Is what?
That would be the same question.
Yeah, included in the same question. Yeah.
We have to do these up for even more.
But yeah, that's true. Well, let's see. So the Rashba says.
The bank manager can make a bracha.
Huh?
The bank manager can make a bracha.
If there would be a bracha, he would be. What would he be? He would be like a shliach.
That's interesting.
If he's lending out a loan, it's not his money. If he's the decision maker, and he's been put in charge, it's probably he would. If he had rishut, he had rishut to go ahead and do these things on behalf of the people who invested the money. And they would, like a shliach, when he gets the mitzvah from them. Okay, then let's go. So the Rashba gives a couple of guidelines about when we do and do not make brachos. So says the Rashba, first of all, kol mitzvah she'ein bo ma'aseh, ein mevarech al olam. Mitzvahs which don't have any action involved, one doesn't make a bracha. Could go in hashmata tzotin, for example, the mitzvah to cancel a loan when it comes shvi'it, not to claim a loan after the seventh year. So that doesn't have a bracha. There's no action involved in that. It's simply a withholding.
That's true.
Okay, that's true, but that doesn't answer our question. Now here's what comes to our question. V'chein, ein mevorchin al mitzvah, she'eno teluyo kula b'yadcha oitha. Well, does not make a bracha on the mitzvah, which is not entirely dependent on the one who is doing it. Mipnei she'efshe shalu yisrapte bo chaveri. It's possible that the received recipient will change his mind. But nitzal ma'aseh mitzvah, when it comes out that your mitzvah isn't there. Your action is for nothing. You're going matzlis aniyim, for example, matzlis aniyim, different versions of stokah, v'alzvah, stalim, lending a loan, and the sin of stokah, v'hanokah, v'kayit. Various mitzvahs, one gives something to somebody else. So if the recipient will suddenly say, actually, you know, I don't need something, suddenly change, I don't need the loan after all. Change my mind. So it turns out that your bracha is a bracha levatot.
Why?
So Chazal were only mitzakin a bracha of mitzvahs that are totally on the one person himself, not mitzvahs that are also dependent on a recipient, because then maybe he'll change his mind and say, I don't want to take it. That's the simple understanding of this answer of the Rashi. Now, comes along one of the portion of the Shulchan Aruch.
I would ask if you're allowed to make a bracha of Corona. The question here is,
before, we're talking about before, like similar to how we make a bracha
on Corona. Then I can see the Kashash, if you
right.
Heard a lend, right? And you say the bracha and he changes his mind.
Yeah,
but it's still a mitzvah, so maybe
you have
Susie takes.
You might get tired of mind for your.
No, I'm saying Susie takes the money.
Cool.
Susie takes the
money
to the
Russian,
and then you can say the
proper. Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. I saw this question raised on the Rashba. But you're right. The Rashba is answering that we're not able to make the proper prior to the mitzvah in the usual fashion of brachos on mitzvah. The usual fashion of brachos on mitzvah is always to make the proper prior to the mitzvah. So this is a good answer. We can't make it prior to the mitzvah because maybe he won't accept it. Maybe he'll change his mind. So it's a bracha levatot. But I did see the question asked that there are some exceptional mitzvahs where, for one reason or another, it isn't appropriate to make the bracha before the mitzvah. And we do find that in those exceptional circumstances, one can make the bracha after the mitzvah. Right away after the mitzvah. So over here the question is asked on the Rashba that true, you can't make it before, but maybe Chazal should have been the second to make it afterwards. Such a big kasha, because it's only a very few exceptions that we find that. Normally all brachos are before the mitzvah, so...
That
might be
tangential, but...
Yeah.
One thing, for example, if they can
apple, as you said, it looks good, do the brachos,
right? And
then it's
in 9
coming up. Yeah. Is
it now, I cannot
give this apple. Right.
Or if they strike or something
happen,
I didn't know
this
before.
But it's not a brachos, it comes out to the brachos, it's not a brachos. There might be punished in Shabbat, I don't know if you weren't expected to check that beforehand, so... But it is a bracha levatot. You know, essentially, if one could And in that situation, one would want to so avoid being a bracha lapan. If you can take a little bit of the apple, which is still good, you should do that. Even if you're not really intending on eating all the apple, you really feel like throwing it away. It's a little bit you could just have. So you just have a tiny bit. It shouldn't be a bracha lapan.
What's the minimum share?
For a bracha lapan, nothing. A mushroom. Okay. So this is the answer of the Rashba, that we do not make brachas on things which are dependent on somebody else for fear that it might become a bracha lapan. So the question is raised over here. One of the Mepharshim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Tumim, asks the following question. That it would appear that this principle of the Rashba, that we're not going to make a bracha on any mitzvah that's dependent on a recipient who has the potential to change his mind, would appear that actually it's a machlokes rishonim. Not everybody accepts this idea of the Rashba. However, we find this in a different context. Says the Tumim, the very edu soisrim the Masha Kosov HaRosh. This principle of the Rashba is not in line with what is written by the Rosh in the first period of the Tumim. Lama in the Vorkin, the Rosh raises the following question. Lama in the Vorkin, Asheka the Shonu, from his voice of the Tzivonu, Likach Isha. Why is there no bracha, asks the Rosh, from the mitzvah of Kiddushin? There are brachas under the Chuppah. But they don't appear to be in the. They're not classic Birkat HaMitzvah. So ask the Rosh, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Kiddushin? In the Kaddish Isha. That's a shekel, the Shalom, it's both of the Tzivon. Likach Isha. So the Rosh asks this question, and the answer is whatever he asks. I'll leave the answer on the side for the moment. He asks the question, he answers some answer. I ask the Tumim, if we're going to go with the principle of the Rashba, so why doesn't the Rosh answer the same answer as this Rashba? He can give the same parents again. Well, they say the same Pshitas, why do they not give the same simple answer as the Rashba gives? The Ainzer Tumim, the Baal Nagam, that is not dependent on one person alone. Do I know Tumim, I should have cast maybe she'll suddenly change her mind. Same way that the Rashba says this in other contexts, in other mitzvahs that are dependent on a recipient. So say the same thing over here. Maybe she'll suddenly change her mind. Shmabe no, the Lord is virulent. So from the Rosh, who raises this question by tradition and gives a different answer, we can see that the Rosh doesn't accept this Svara. The Rosh says this, and we don't have to be, maybe we don't have to be chashish for that. It's a bit far-fetched. If the situation is already set up, it appears that they want the loan, or the woman wants to get married.
In this case only, or in zero clause?
Well, someone takes it as a general principle and make a distinction between different cases.
Maybe there's an exception.
Why should there be an exception?
Just as you said, there's
a case. Maybe there's certain cases where it's more unlikely that the person will change.
Very likely to say no.
Kiddushin is much more unlikely that the lady will change her mind than any other situation. I hear. Someone doesn't go down that line. He accepts that situations, if it's been agreed to, well, we imagine that people are not going to suddenly change their mind. Now the question is, if the Rosh does not accept this principle of the Rashba, so how is the Rosh going to answer this question? Which we thought of halva. Why, with a loan, is there no bracha on the mitzvah of giving a loan? But sorry, loyda the da for rosh tirut ahir. So we're going to have to give for the rosh a different text. Kivim shehu klolo uperonius. The principle of needing to give a loan is something which is attached with. Somebody else's downfall, somebody else's misfortune. To be brought on there, but specifically in the Torah, it's written that at times of brachah, in times of blessing, when we're fully worthy of Hashem's full blessing, it's written that Atolay Silver, you will not borrow. And to be obliged to have to take a loan is not considered a good thing. But if it's a year before every year, there will not be any poor person. It's a simple brother not to have to take a look. But when they say no, he could say that. It's the avoidance of Amisrael which have brought about the situation that somebody needs to take a look. Therefore, in the forest follows. That's how the Rosh will answer a different parent. Even if you don't go with this, the Rosh doesn't go with this principle of the Rosh on the concern that somebody might change their mind. He could answer this question with a different parent. You know why we don't make a brother on taking a loan? Because taking a loan is a sign of downfall, of misfortune, of someone calling it a good thing, and therefore we do not make on it.
But that's on that case.
Yes, that's the now specific answer for that case.
Why do we still get the side of the one giving the wrong and not the other side? Why don't we ask the question, why the one receives the wrong doesn't go for a far, well, at a shem, and they count the one giving the wrong?
Yeah.
This would be more,
Because over there, there's no mixer. Yeah, obviously he's happy, and maybe he should give Shlach to his brother, his Twitter, he needed the known and he found the known. But there's no mitzvah. We're at more of a sort of technical, specific halakhic point. There's no mitzvah to take the known, there's a mitzvah to give a known. Now there is a possibility, let's turn back now to the Rashba. We said that the Rashba does not agree to this principle of the Rashba, that a person might change their mind and therefore you don't make a bracha. It's possible that even the Rashba, maybe there's a slightly different understanding of what the Rashba would say. Maybe even the Rashba will not say that we confirm that the person will change their mind and therefore it'll come to be a bracha levatam. There's a slightly different way of understanding the principle that the Rashba is saying. Maybe even the Rashba agrees that we don't have to confirm the person will change their mind. That's not the clue that the Rashba is getting at. Could be that the principle that the Rashba is saying is that there are mitzvahs that are fully binding on you to do that mitzvah. And there are mitzvahs that are absolutely fully binding. You know, it's not always going to be obliged to do this mitzvah. It's not an absolute obligation. It's an obligation which depends on an outside set of circumstances. Meaning that a halvah, for example, a loan, if a person will change their mind and say, I don't want the loan, then there's no mitzvah anymore. But in case, other mitzvahs, lulav, matzah, that mitzvah is always binding. Bring out the point a little further with another example. Let's say pidyon habet. Pidyon habet. So the mitzvah is to go and give money to the kohen to be poyger the child. Now, the first thing would appear pidyon habet is a question on the principle of the Rashba. Because pidyon habet, we do make a bracha. I don't really agree to make a bracha on pidyon habet. Now, pidyon habet is, in principle, the mitzvah is to give a present to the kohen, give a present of money to the kohen, and then the ben is redeemed. Now, in principle, the same thing could happen. The kohen could suddenly turn around and say, you know what, sometimes I don't want this five is lying, go to somebody else. So, according to the simple understanding of the Rashba, why is there a bracha on pidyon habet? Pidyon habet is the same question. The kohen could change his mind, so why is there a bracha? Okay, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we're used to pidyon habet being an entire ceremony. You've invited the whole. If someone is specially invited, it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, first of all, you can
go to any kohen. You can go to any kohen and give him the five shekels. That's the core of the mitzvah.
When he said a bracha.
Before you give it. So now, if we sharpen the understanding of the Rashba, we say that's not the exact point that the person might change his mind. That's not the vault. The vault is the central principle is that there are mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs which are dependent. The whole entire mitzvah is dependent on somebody else. If he doesn't want it, there's no mitzvah. With pidyon habet, it's not so. If you go to Kohen A, and he says, no thanks, I don't want these five shloim. The mitzvah is still incumbent upon you. So you have to go and find another Kohen to give it. It isn't like the mitzvah of halvah, for example. If somebody comes to you for a loan, and they say, no, you know, actually I've changed my mind, I don't need the loan. So you've got to look for somebody else to give a loan to them. No. It's not legal. If somebody wants a loan, there's a mitzvah. If nobody wants a loan, there's no mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is only when somebody wants the favor. If they don't want the favor, there's no mitzvah. So that is a much lower level type of cube. on that type of fuel, Chazal will not be stuck in any bracha. Chazal will only be stuck in a bracha on types of mitzvahs that are fully incumbent upon you. If this recipient doesn't want it, you'll find somebody else. It has nothing to do with the fact the person might or might not change their mind. That's not going to cook. Maybe in the Rashba says, we're not conscious that people will suddenly change their mind in a little. People won't change their mind. That's not the point. But the point is, Chazal will not be stuck in bracha on things that are dependent on somebody else's that, and when that person will change their mind, there is no mitzvah. For example, pidyon habet, even if the person will change their mind, there's still a mitzvah. So on those type of mitzvahs, Chazal will be sacking a bracha.
Even though
you know,
you're
going to sell, then we're a chayz bracha. Yeah, but in other words, I'll say, the Rashba is not concerned that the person will change his mind, not based on practical concern that, oh, maybe he'll suddenly change his mind, he'll be bracha lebatal. No, he probably won't change his mind. We don't have to be concerned that he'll change his mind and it'll become a brothel of our comments. And in Alvar also, it's not because we're concerned that suddenly he'll change his mind. He probably won't change his mind. Come to ask for a loan, probably he wants a loan, he probably won't change his mind. But nevertheless, we don't make a brothel on such a type of mitzvah. Because that is a mitzvah where the essence of the mitzvah is dependent on the rupture of somebody else. And if he wouldn't want the loan, there would be no mitzvah. But that is a much lower level type of chiyuv.
Yeah, it's
not
brush
on
the time, or is it case that something
that
that's
only
that person
is
saying something
that
it's not absolute.
I mean, the same brush.
The theorem
is not absolute.
Well, let's say someone, you can give the room to someone else. If this guy says no, you could make a decision.
You could theoretically, but there would be no mix. The minute this person says no, you could go and look for somebody else, and then the mitzvah would be in its kaddish again. That would be a
question. Is it that person or just to give it
up? You're right. There's no mitzvah to give. It doesn't say that Torah give lend money to Torah.
No, but that's much. So it probably goes away. There's probably two that comes and puts in the mitzvah.
Then let's chop it further. As we sit here in this room now, at this second, is there a mitzvah left to give a loan?
No,
because nobody's asking for a loan. Right. Here we're sitting here. Nobody's asking us for a loan. So no mitzvah to give a loan. In fact, this mitzvah only comes about when somebody knocks on the door and says, please could you give me a loan? When he goes, so before the person knocks on the door, there's no mitzvah. When he turns around and says, actually I don't want, again there's no mitzvah. When does the mitzvah come back? If number two knocks on the door and says, again can I have a loan? So there's again a mitzvah. But the minute he goes away, there's no mitzvah. It's not that pity that thing. If I've got a fancy point here I am sitting here in my house with no coin around, there's a mitzvah on me to go look for a coin. And if coin one doesn't want, I've got to go to coin two and to coin three. Not like giving a loan. Giving a loan, if a Mr. Lodger comes along and wants a loan, there's a mitzvah. When he goes away, there's no mitzvah. When number two comes along, there's a mitzvah. When he goes away, there's no mitzvah. I don't have to go around looking for somebody to give our love to. If you want to, it's very good. It's a mitzvah gadol to have a gemach and right put aside. Please come and borrow money, but no, it's not a chiyuv. Okay, back to look at one final idea, which is a little more drush, but it's a beautiful idea of the Maharal over here. I'm jumping down to the bottom of the sheet, the bottom rash. What are the three exceptions? We mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, there's three exceptions where the word in is written. No, on the bottom of the first side. Three places where the word in is written, and it means actually something obligatory, even though usually the word in is used for something optional. So, what are the three examples? So, Rashi brings over here Rabbi Shmuel, Oimer, Kol im the im Shabbatari Rishut Chut Mishloisha. What are they? Number one, the im Mizbach Avonim Tafel. The end of last week's parasha, where we're told when one makes a mizbeach, one should make it out of stone, not cut with metal. But the word used over there is the if you will make a mizbeach. It is not if you will make a mizbeach; it's when. It's obligatory. Number two, in kesef talda, when you lend money. Now you go over to the other side now. Number three, the im takriv minchas dikurim, zu minchas ha'oimer. The very first korban that was brought on Pesach from the new crops, also the same expression, the in and if. So the question is, why over here, these three exceptions? Out of all places in the Torah, these three exceptions where the word the in is used, something which is actually obligatory, but the word the in is used as though it was optional. And it's not optional, it's obligatory. Says the Gur Ari, a beautiful idea. Mitneh. If one does these three mitzvahs, mechoyu, out of obligation. Kiru mechayin gezeirat meh, simply because one's commanded to do, so you do. Ein hazava l'rotzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In these mitzvahs, that is not the optimal way of fulfilling the mitzvah. The Torah sheyaseh meretzoyu, even though it is obligatory, one needs to do it as though, so to speak, as though it was optional. As though one's filled with a voluntary feeling of coming of one's own volition and to do these things. But then when one does it out of one's own, so to speak, free will, Hashem is happy with his mitzvah. The Meister Shurek Rechi Rechoyo ain't sorry to have it El Shum Tan Rachu Mekai Zerit Hamesh. Something which is absolutely obligatory, one does it without looking at any reason. The king says, do, you do. But if one does these three things simply to fulfill the commands of the king, ain't there double. This is not how it's meant to be. Let's have a look now at the three examples. Why is this so? Number one, ki im boinem is bear. Now we're trying not to read the Gurari here, he speaks them out. 1, 2, and 3. Ki im boinem is bear. If one builds with his bear, shuami dosa is forat lahakribon, which is the central point of Avoda to offer to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We were trying to declare that there is merit for Vav, and one does this simply as fulfilling the Gzera of the king, ain't the Avoda. This is not how Avoda is meant to be. The Avoda story she year, Uyvid lo merit soya. The essence of Avoda is to do it out of one's own free will. But all of Mikra Uyvid, then he is called one who does Avoda, the Eved Hashem. Avodimu Mukhrut. If one's absolutely forced to do it, then that's how one does it. In the oil. That's a
yotzin.
That's a yotzin. Halakhically a yotzin. This is, now we've turned from a halacha shiur to a to divrei agadah, to divrei musa. In the oil. But that's not the way it's meant to be. Yotzin, but it's not. That's not how it should be. But hey, the second example is hil v'kesef. If one lends money, simply because, well, it's a mitzvah, you've got to do it, so you do. Ain't that mitzvah? That's not the way the mitzvah is meant to be. Ki torah sheyir mitzvah halvah le'retzoyo, b'leiv toiv. I should give halvah, not just because, well, we've got to do, so we do. But because one really feels for the needs of the other person, and out of the spirit of generosity and good-heartedness, that's how one does the mitzvah.
It seems to be implying from this that all
Because Hashem said, take a look.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're not missing anything of the essence of the mitzvah. We understand better the reasons of the mitzvah, it's all action, understand more what's going on in the Elohim, all added understanding is all good. But you're not missing something in the essence of the mitzvah if you just do it simply that. I'm not really talking about Shalom Lishma. It could be called Lishma. Hashem commanded, so you do. That's just very good. It's not Shalom Lishma. Shalom Lishma is, they're going to give you a treat at the end of the day, so you do.
Okay, I'll give it all to the Hashem first, and I can do it, and I'm not
the Madriga, I have
to say, the appreciation of
all
the
things
I've done.
I'm doing it. Hashem commands, I'm doing it. So, this is Ben Adam Lachaviru. I think maybe this touches a little bit on the point that you said right at the beginning. But in this is Ben Adam Lachaviru, if you do it simply because it's a mitzvah, you know, we'll open up the shop, it's written, you've got to do what you do. Then it's very much, very easily pogea in the whole essence of the mitzvah. It becomes like the odi is your kaporah, like we said before. I think that might be really what lies in the essence of what you're saying.
That's what
we're
putting in the mitzvah.
Yeah, true.
The other reason is before, but the Rashi.
So each one of them needs attention themselves. I mean, the others maybe also can have some understanding like that. The Mizbeah, what it means together is isn't just the Mizbeah, but it's the Mizbeah as being the central point of Avodah of Korbanot. It's not even far modest. It's done simply, the whole purpose of the problem is that the person coming closer to the scroll phone, wishing to. Okay, we can't be married a lot more now. And finally, the Korban Omer keeps out the same idea. The Korban Omer is the Korban of Korban Tatoy for the new crop, for the start of the new year. So again, that type of Korban, if it's brought simply with the outer kernel of the external maitre, without the internal feeling of the Korban Tatoy, it is lacking. Now, how does all this tie into our original question? So to quickly tie things up, which is, we were asking about bracha. Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of halva? So I thought once to use this idea to answer the question of why there's no bracha as well. The Maharal in a different place questions a different mitzvah why there's no bracha. He asks why there's no bracha on the mitzvah of sipur yitzias mitzrayim. So he answers that a mitzvah where the ikar hadavar is machshavas halev. The ikar hadavar is to understand. And if you say the sipur yitzias mitzrayim, simply without understanding, you just read the book, like somebody can't understand Hebrew. No. But you can read. And he takes the hadavar and he reads it from the Al-Sifah. He doesn't understand the words that he says. There's no use in sipur yitzias mitzrayim. The essence of mitzvah is to understand. So the Maharal says, and he's understanding the investigation of this cloud, how far it applies and where it applies, he wants to put down such a cloud that a mitzvah, which the essence of the mitzvah is the Mahshevet Halev, there's no bracha. And that's why there's no bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I once wondered whether you can use the same idea now to answer to Derek Rush a little bit, using the same principle we said a second ago, that in Mitzvah Halzor, the Mahshevet Halev is essential. Maybe that can also answer why there is no mitzvah, no bracha on the mitzvah of Halzor. Because there too, the Mashevet Halev is essential, and there's no bracha on the mitzvahs where the Mashevet Halev is essential.